Stick with it later. Coming up on TMS, don't go to the movies with Brian.
Ice skate to the freeze.
The club, what? The club coming back. I don't know what that means.
Doom wants you to take a selfie.
I can't read today. I can zoom you.
Bananas are not a threat.
50 Shades of Money.
Major spoilers.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Grandpa, let's have a pretend pizza party.
Okay, honey. I'll imagine a Casey's handmade from scratch pizza with all my favorite toppings.
It's got lots of hot and gooey cheese, too. Grandpa, where are you going?
To get a real Casey's pizza.
For a Casey's pizza lover, all it takes is a little imagination.
Pretend pizza works every time.
It's Casey's General Store.
Yes.
Welcome to the Morning Stream. It's mostly poop jokes and Brian.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the TMS show. Can we call it that from now on? The TMS show?
The Morning Stream show.
Yeah, why not?
TMS show.
Let's ask Peter Weller. Peter Weller, can I call it the TMS show?
Yes.
Okay, we're in. We're done. That, of course, a clip taken from RoboCop 2, covered eloquently on FilmSack yesterday, available now at FilmSack.com, if you'd like to go check that out.
Second RoboCop movie, but I would say the one they made after the first RoboCop movie.
Yeah, that seems...
If you want my opinion, it's the one they made after the first RoboCop movie.
Yeah, I think that sounds about right. You know? If I'm to make a fair assessment of how that movie turned out, it is indeed the movie after they made the first one.
I don't want to put too fine a point on it.
Nope.
But
make me the only bee in your bonnet, right?
Right. Yes.
Okay, great. Hey.
He agrees.
Welcome to the show, everybody. It's TMS for Monday, February 16th, 2015. What's going on there? My computer freaked out. There we go. I feel like there's a weird technology haunting ghost today because a few things have kind of not worked. My remote mouse doesn't work anymore. I'm having some strange glitches. I don't remember being on this tab when the show started. Like, there's some stuff going on.
Well, maybe it's a ghost of a president, seeing as it's
President's
Day.
Whoa, that's true. And Friday the 13th came and went, so that's over.
Right.
Is that the day you went to the movies or was it Saturday you went?
No, we went Saturday. Okay, went to the Mammoth game Friday night for a Mammoth lacrosse game.
Anything haunting happened there or it was all fine?
They lost, but somebody had to.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we knew it was going to be a Friday the 13th bad luck event for one of the two teams, and unfortunately it turned out to be the home team.
I think like here, you guys should be forced to have the last part of every sports team should either be Lanch or something like that, because you got the Avalanche. Or you got the
carry this through. I'm waiting to see where this one goes.
The Rock-a-Lanch. Nuggets? You guys have the Nuggets, right? No. Right. Yeah, the Nuggets.
All mountainy things.
Okay, it should be Uggets. Well, mostly. It should be Uggets because the Jazz have to have ZZs at the end of all the other sports teams. Everything should have an Ugget at the end of it. So it should be
the Avaluggets. And the Bronk-Uggets.
The
Bronco-Nuggets.
The Bronco-Nuggets. The Bronkets. I don't know. Don't do any of that. It's a terrible idea. All right. So Brian has been on this quest, and I'm anxious to get to this next phase of this quest, because your quest has been to see all of the major nominated films, certainly for Best Picture, and then possibly a few others for other categories before the Academy Awards this coming Sunday.
That's right.
And as a result, you were able to cap off at least a couple of more on Saturday. And
double feature on Saturday.
Yeah.
I now know everything I want to know about both Chris Kyle and Stephen Hawking.
Chris Kyle, Sniper Man. And,
Sniper Man.
Stephen Hawking, Wheelchair Smart Man.
Wheelchair Smart Man.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
which is more than I can say for the people in the audience of the Wheelchair Smart Man movie.
Well, and now we get to the crux. So you have this bad... You have a bad time at movies sometimes. Sometimes bad things happen, and so what happened Saturday?
Right, and it's funny because Tina and I were talking about this. We had such a good run for a while with Birdman and Whiplash, where we didn't have irritating people in the audience around us. People really just have no idea how to behave in theater. So American Sniper we saw early in the day. And really the only, it's funny, there were only like six of us in the theater because it's been out for a while. Plus it's 50 Shades of Grey weekend. It was Valentine's Day. Not a lot of people are going to go see American Sniper on Valentine's Day. Sure. Not that good date movie that you want.
Plus you went, like you mentioned, you went early.
We did. We saw it like around lunchtime.
Yeah.
So we were two of six people in the audience. Mm. But whoever decided to sit in front of me and to the left, a couple that we were kind of worried about because they came in right at the end, mm-hmm. and the it was an old man and old woman. This was their Valentine's Day date
Aww,
movie.
Oh, that's adorable.
Yes.
See a sniper movie for your Valentine's Day.
Exactly.
All right.
So they sit down and he immediately starts like loud talking like, oh, this is going to be good or something like that. Like, oh, this is the war movie we wanted to see. All something right. like that. I guess she said something to him and he quieted down. But starting about, I would say probably a good half an hour into the movie, almost like clockwork, every 10 minutes, I'd get a whiff of something that that sounded like somebody went to Del Taco right before they came to American Sniper. A little bit of a sniper action going on.
Sure.
And when kind of looking, I did kind of the look around like, all right, who do we have around us? Like, yeah. Where is this traveling from? And we figured it had to be
this old
the couple
guy?
In front and to the left.
Okay.
It's like, all right, well, you know, it would just be like this for a few seconds and then it would be over. And then 10 minutes later, it happened again. But
sure.
Aside from that, Sniper was good, by the way.
Yeah.
It was good.
Her good things. Intense, right? Intense.
Yeah, very intense. Mm. I mean, you know, we can pretty much expect it's going to go to either Boyhood or Birdman. But personally, for my money, I'd love to see Whiplash get Best Picture. There's no way it will.
Yeah, it's not a chance. But I'll bet you J.K. Simmons, I bet
he's going to get the Best Supporting Actor for sure.
Yeah.
I think that's a lock.
Yeah, he's good.
And I'm with Randy Jordan that Patricia Arquette's going to get the Supporting Actress.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, so we had that for American Sniper. Well, that was nothing.
Oh.
Compared to the fun that we had in The Theory of Everything.
Oh, no, so this the Stephen Hawking business.
Stephen Hawking business.
Oh, no, this sounds
so
bad.
So more of a date movie, right? Because there's a love story kind of at the heart of mm-hmm. The Theory of Everything. It's not just about Stephen Hawking, but it's about his wife, Jane, his first wife, Jane. Mm-hmm. And gosh, you learn a lot of stuff about Stephen Hawking. I had no idea. Honestly, this is, and a lot of people are going to probably roll their eyes at this. I had no idea he was British because, you know, when you don't hear an accent, when you don't actually hear him speak,
right.
you can't make any assumptions as to where he's from.
I knew it from a documentary, but I didn't.
Did you?
But you're right. If you didn't know that and you only seen him like Star Trek and on his, you know, Nova
Big
style
Bang
videos
Theory
and all
and,
that.
And yeah, movie or in a movie, but right. Like documentaries and stuff like mm-hmm. that. Seeing Jeannie's laughing at me. I knew she would. knew somebody would.
She's always
I just
ready.
Didn't expect it from you, Jeannie.
She's always ready
but,
to laugh.
But they even address actually why his voice synthesis or voice synthesizer has an American accent
mm-hmm.
in the thing. The movie, great. The people around us, what a bunch of a-holes. So Tina and I like to get in. We grab the first row in front of the walkway, which usually has some bars and an opening that we can kind of put our feet through. Tall people, we like to stick our feet through the bars mm-hmm. or put them on the bars or, mm-hmm. or you know, but having that extra leg room. Plus, if we're in the middle and there's people on either side and we need to go to the lobby to grab ourselves a snack, as the song goes, we could kind of hop over that bar and not make anybody move. It's you know, it's good for everybody, right?
Okay.
But it always means that we get the people like right in front of us in the handicapped seats that usually come in late. They don't want to bother looking for an actual pair of seats. So they're just going to plop their butts down there.
Sure.
And this guy comes in just as the movie's starting, like sitting down solo in his chair. His feet are sticking in the aisle and, you know, people probably tripping over it. But he gets out his phone and just starts perusing Facebook. Now, this isn't during the previews. This is during the actual movie. Movie started.
Yeah.
Stephen Hawking is riding his bike through the streets of through the campus of Cambridge University.
All right.
Dude pulls out his cell phone and just starts perusing Facebook. Oh, let's see what my friends are doing. Oh, let's. Oh, this is. I'll comment on this. Oh, this is. I'll like this.
What the heck? Awesome. They're talking while they're doing.
No, no,
this?
No. He's. But he's like on his phone.
Okay,
his
on
bright
his
light smartphone.
All right.
And people probably think, well, you know, I'm not texting, so they're not going to hear that noise. No big deal. Mm-hmm. No. When you have this bright light and you're sitting somewhat in the front of the theater, every row behind you sees that bright light. Yep. And it's like this thing off to the side, kind of takes you out of the movie. You want this immersion feeling of like getting in the movie and like, oh, yeah, all right. Oh, yeah, this is what's going on.
Yeah.
About a little tiny corner of your eye, there's this bright light that's changing color and changing, and you're kind of drawn to it, unfortunately, because it's this distracting thing. So finally, he puts his stupid phone away. His girlfriend comes back, and I guess that was what he was waiting for.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get a little Facebook time during the movie while my wife's not there to elbow me. Yeah. Well, she takes out hers about halfway through, Tina says.
Great.
Fortunately, she was blocking, or he was blocking my view of her phone, so
good.
I didn't notice it. But then you got the guy behind me who we kind of knew immediately. You know, he sat down, they were talking, but she would whisper, and he would respond like in this level. Like it was...
Like talking.
You know, just talking.
Yeah.
Just, you know, I'm not even going to try to like lower my voice. I'm not going to try whispering. I'm just going to talk.
So it'd be like this. Is that Stephen Hawking? And he'd go, yes, that's Stephen Hawking right now on the screen.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Okay. Exactly.
Wow.
And, you know, again, about half an hour into the movie, he's still doing it. And he's mansplaining everything to her. Apparently she just doesn't understand what's going on. Or he thinks, I think it's actually more the case that he thinks she doesn't understand what's going on.
Okay.
Oh, he's starting to show. There's some signs. Look, he's his writing is getting a little messy.
Mm-hmm.
So something's going on.
Right.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. So I turn around and I said, hey, would you mind whispering? And I say it in that tone of voice, like loud enough that he can hear it.
Because you had had it, man. You've been through two of these. You had farting old people.
I had fart man. I had Facebook man.
Yeah.
And so this guy's just talking. And so I turn around. And first I give him the turnaround. That doesn't seem to help.
Yeah.
And then a few minutes later, he does it again. I give him the turnaround and the say something, which is, hey, would you mind whispering?
Yeah.
Well, he looks dead straight at the screen like I'm a gnat buzzing around his head.
Like he didn't hear you at all.
Not even going to give me the acknowledgement that he heard me.
Oh, dude, I would have been so pissed.
But whatever his response was, he did shut up for the rest of the movie.
So that was the end of that.
Was the end of that.
Okay.
Except for his wife later on.
Mm-hmm.
There's a scene very late in the movie.
Yeah.
Stephen Hawking's in his wheelchair. He's talking to a group of students. And again, this is no spoiler. I mean, we know who Stephen Hawking is.
Yeah.
We know what happens to him, right?
Yeah.
There's a somewhat of a dream sequence scene that happens where Stephen Hawking does something that Stephen Hawking these days cannot do.
Mm.
And she whispers to her husband, oh, this is where he's dying.
Meaning she has no idea that Stephen Hawking's still kicking it.
Right,
and,
exactly.
Okay.
Hasn't seen an episode of Big Bang Theory lately.
Great, great. Great. Yeah. No, you love people like that, dude. That's amazing. So was it a packed theater? That particular?
That one was a little bit busier. Yeah, that one had a lot more people.
So you have less options to move around or, you know, get better, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, Tina said that, you know, as we were coming out of there, I'm thinking, God, I need to just bring rubber bands
mm-hmm.
to movies.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, yeah, what you had to do is go get those little dental ones that they use for braces,
mm-hmm.
those little tiny ones, and then you can just ping.
And no one and they're hard to find. They don't even know what hit them. It doesn't like land on their lap. It's like this tiny thing that's was never there. That's a great idea.
Exactly.
Oh, that's a great idea. Dude, I hate these stories because they make me angry. They make me want to like go to a movie and punch somebody. Like
it's
that
so frustrating. Ugh. It's like people, you know, there's just so little respect that happens with some of those people.
Yeah, what the heck? Arvada? Come on, get your crap together down there. So we didn't see any movies this weekend, but we I did make the kids watch Castaway.
Ooh, yeah.
So nice. It's on the list. You know this list I have
of
movies the kids should see, and Of course, Carter cried at the Wilson scene. She had to.
Of course.
Yep. That's her. Yeah, that movie holds up. It's good. I think the island stuff holds up the most.
Yeah.
And the not on the island stuff holds up a little, not as well. And it's funny because I think at the time the movie came out, people complained about the island part and not the home part. But I may have that backwards. But it did seem like there was some criticism back then about...
What specifically about the home part? Because, I mean, it's not like there's a big technology gap, right? I mean, he's a FedEx guy. He's got to make sure that FedEx delivers their stuff on time.
Mm-hmm. It's like 5 years later. It's not that. It's none of that. It's the feeling of that the when he got back, that it just drug on too long.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it just kind of felt a little that
it's
way.
It's funny because I think I know what you mean, because this was one of the movies, obviously, same kind of thing. We wanted Tristan to see it. Mm-hmm. And I think at the time before, since the only other time I'd seen it was in the theaters, I was thinking, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, he spends like 95% of the movie on the island. And then there's just a few minutes after when he goes and sees Helen Hunt and then
same impression.
And then that's it.
Same impression. That was my memory of it in the theater. And when we watched it again, it was like, oh, there's a lot more of this stuff on the tail end of this thing. They really
bookended it. Now that I'm thinking about it, I mean, there's the welcome party. There's seeing her outside. And who's the husband? Is it John Hamm?
No, it's Chris Noth.
Chris Noth. That's right. That's
Sex
right,
in the City Law and Order guy. That guy.
Don Draper, Mr. Big.
Yeah. That dude. And it holds up. It's good. Tom Hanks is amazing in the middle bit. And all that stuff holds up. It's still harrowing. It's still intense. The kids just squirmed like worms when he had to knock his tooth out. And they were freaking out when he was trying to eat a liquid crab before he cooked the thing. And the weight loss that they showed after the he'd been there for 4 years was kind of insane. And you know, just really interesting movie on the whole. So we really liked it. But here's the thing I didn't expect. Internet's favorite racist jerk face, Nick Searcy, who hates fat people, from Justified, he was on there. He was the friend that he left, or that he whose wife died while he was gone, and was his best friend at FedEx. And at the end, ended up talking to for like a huge long period of time.
Right, like he's chatting, he's telling Searcy like how he's feeling the whole time. I was on that island.
She was.
I just couldn't wait to get back home and have ice.
Well, that camera's floating around their heads.
Right.
Yeah, he kept talking about ice. You're right. And it just struck me as, man, Nick Searcy, you can sure play a nice guy when you have to, you know?
Well, even at Justified, he's a nice guy. I mean, he's a hard-nosed...
He's great. He's great on everything he's ever been cast in, except for maybe, what was that movie we saw? Film Sack movie. Can't remember now. He played a fake cop or something. He was kind of a dick. Anyway, other than that, though, usually a lovable kind of guy. And on Justified, love his character on there.
Yeah.
In real life... Ooh, man.
Not so nice.
He's a real potato head, that guy.
Right. It's a good thing Tom Hanks didn't come back from the island fat.
Right? That's what I'm saying.
Hey, welcome back, fatty fat fat. I'd say let's throw a party for you, but maybe we should just have salad.
Exactly. Sorry, I stepped away from the microphone while I manually add somebody to the call. Because that quit working today. Do a little, Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by
Order of the Link, a tabletop role-playing game over 30 years in the making. It allows you to play any genre you want, and we want you to help us make it a success. See our Kickstarter at tinyurl.com/link-kick.
Daryl, are you the kind of guy at a movie theater who will do the turn and talk like Brian did, or are you the kind that just grins and bears it? What do you do? How do you handle it?
You mean when other people are talking?
Yeah, when other people are loud and noisy.
Around.
Do you a lot of turn around and scowl at them? Do you make any kind of shifty movements? Like, what's your way of dealing with the unruly folks in a movie theater?
Yeah, I probably will kind of half turn around and give them the evil eye.
Yeah, and does that usually, do you find success when you do that?
Probably not.
Yeah. It takes a lot to get me to turn around. I'm almost thinking maybe the new thing is I just like pull my hand out, turn around, point it towards them, snap my fingers, and just keep my fingers sticking pointing at them.
Yeah.
Like
that
like
way.
Bad dog,
just the whole time?
Not, the whole time, but not, but not turn around to look at them.
I love that one. I love that one. That's a good one.
Hang there for a couple of minutes pointing at him and then put it back.
Hey, RoboCop, is that a good idea?
Yes.
He agrees. Okay, we're in. That's what you do from now on. Daryl, it's good to have you back. Daryl's a Trek nerd. He is This Week in Trek's only Trek nerd. And, well, he's not the only one. Him and Michael Gaines do that show together. But he comes on this show, answers tricky trivia questions about Star Trek. Before we get going here, we have a mashup. Once again, this could be just complete insanity wrapped up in an MP3 file. I don't know. I haven't heard it. But here it is, prepared for us. Playing it now.
I ordered a cheese pizza, but instead I got tons of calls and messages like this one.
Cuba.
That's Cuba. What do you say, Cuba?
Cuban.
Cuban City Goober.
Yeah, Frankie Muniz. Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, he's
is
not.
Muniz or?
I think it was Muniz, isn't it?
Munich. I thought it was Munich.
I would.
No, no, it's
definitely not Munich. It's M-U-N-I-Z. So. Unless,
Cuba, Munich,
Muniz. Unless they get busted for blowing up their balls. Remember that? Or did you hear about that? All the ball blowing or whatever?
Spreader bar.
What?
So think apparently, I thought they had those on trucks. Things made out of chocolate that you normally don't see made out of chocolate.
Like wieners.
Wieners
like a wiener.
Yeah, lots of wieners.
Lots of chocolate wieners. All right, that was pretty good. Although, I don't know why his sound quality is so crusty on that stuff. It's weird. Because we put the show out at 128K, and
right.
I don't know what happens there.
I'm going to downscale it down to 32-bit and then extract the pieces I want.
Send it right back to you. All right. Thank you very much, Mike. Here is your question, Daryl. Are you ready?
I am ready.
All right. Do we do a flag song this morning? Do we get one from you?
Yeah, there's one.
Okay. I meant to get it, and I didn't have it.
I don't claim it's great or anything, but there is one.
All right. In the Next Generation episode, A Matter of Perspective, Dr. Neil Apgar is trying to create Krieger waves. Remember these? I remember this. Mm-hmm. His station blows up.
Kegel waves.
Kegel waves, right. You sit and you squeeze your mum together or whatever. His station explodes. There is a small field generator on the planet below. What kind of energy field does this generator create? Is it A, lambda fields, gravimetric fields, tantalus fields, or polaric fields? So, lambda fields, gravimetric, tantalus, or polaric fields. Those are your options, Daryl, as they are and as good as they're going to be. All right. While you think about that, hold on. Come on, damn it. What's going on?
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
What's a foodie?
We have in our hands, our sweaty man hands, from Richard Gibbons in Pleasant Grove, Utah. Some more Mexican food candy, and this one is called Dulce de Tamarindo Salido Enchilada Pulparindo Rindo.
I'm a little worried about the second part. Salado y Enchilada.
Yeah, that's weird. Con fruta natural. With natural
salad
fruit,
and
it says.
Enchilada. There's a salad and an enchilada all in this little thing.
And it says below, hot and salted tamarindo or rindo pulp candy. So it's from a fruit, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Tamarind. So it's funny. Look at the ingredients. The first ingredient is sugar, then tamarind pulp, corn syrup, iodized salt, citric acid, ground chili, and sodium benzoate. So this is a fruit roll-up, a salty fruit roll-up.
It sounds like it. I'm smelling it. Smells a little earthy. It's a little earthy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying. Looks like a little.
Yeah, I smell the tamarind for sure.
It's a flattened little poo.
Mm-hmm.
And
it smells like a fruit roll-up.
It's what about?
It's been under the seat of the car for a while.
About 3 millimeters in height. Looks like a little candy bar piece of thing here. Yeah, it does sound like hot. Well, let's try it. I mean, hell, we're not gonna know until we try it. There it goes.
Right. Well, you get that flavor as soon as
yeah, tangy right away.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
No. Nope, don't like that.
Not a fan.
I don't like that.
What's so bad about it?
Oh, Daryl, what is up? There's something wrong with you.
the tangy.
This tangy.
Tangy spiciness.
Is there spiciness?
Yeah,
I should
bit.
Be the one that hates this. Oh, there it is. Okay, I'm done. Wow, that took a long
yeah,
time.
Yeah, it comes in late.
Oh, yo.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Ugh.
Oh,
I don't like
play
it.
The, no. Play the gag clip.
Oh, yeah, where is that? Hold on. I'm slow on the draw here. Here, wait, where is it?
Complete map.
No, no. There it is.
There we go. That's yes. My review.
You know what we should do? We should take that.
Your butt.
I'm going to switch that with that one. We're going to put that on the thing. So we can hear Brian do that anytime we need it. That's when we've had something bad. Does Peter Weller agree?
Yes.
All right. It's voted in. It's official
it
law.
One of these, too.
Oh, gosh. Oh, God. You the Daryl gag.
You can do that on demand.
Yeah. I don't like that at all. All right.
Now we can have a conversation.
That's right. And yeah,
it's all mushy and wet.
That's what I'm saying. All right, Daryl, let's get to your birthday reporting. Our birthday reporter now on the scene, Daryl Skeels. What do you got?
Okay, who is it? It's LeVar Burton. He's 58 today.
Has Reading Rainbow thing happened yet? I know the Kickstarter did. Do we have like a thing yet, like a show or?
I think so. I think there's an app that's pretty much like the show.
Is that so? That's out now. Okay. I didn't realize they had fulfilled on that. Are we sure about that? Hold on.
I think
Kickstarter.
So. And while you look, I will tell you that he was born as LeVardus Robert Martin Burton Jr.
Gosh, I can't. LeVardus. I can't imagine why a guy would not want the name LeVardus. Mm-hmm. That's terrible. That name.
That's like a mouthwash.
It does sound like a mouthwash. Yeah.
Let's see. Made $5 million. Updates. For backers only, backers only. Okay, they've been doing some things. But it doesn't look like the main show has been produced yet. Because they're going to produce a show.
Oh, an actual show?
Yeah, I mean, there's apps. Well, maybe it's for the app. I don't know,
I thought that's what it was.
Let's see. Here's the video.
That's great fact.
There's LeVar. Wow, his video is 10 and a half minutes long. Weird. Anyway. Happy birthday to him. He's a big deal. He's a thing.
Yeah.
We like that guy.
He's one of the biggies, one of the people who get their name at the beginning of the show.
Yeah. He's short though. Have you seen him next to like regular people? Tiny, no, tiny little guy.
Regular people.
Little average height people. Sorry.
Yeah.
Say that in a different way. Okay. Daryl, what the hell? What are we doing? Oh yeah. The question here. It's these fields. And I can read them again if you like, unless you already know what it is.
I don't know for sure, but I have a guess.
Mm-hmm.
And did you know, I'm in a weird mood, so I'm just going to say this, even though I'm probably not supposed to.
All right.
If you go up to LeVar Burton at a concert, or not a concert, a con,
mm-hmm.
and say, will you say this thing for me? He'll say no.
He'll say no to that?
He'll say no.
Well, most of them say no.
Yeah, we've had a lot of them say yes.
$75, right?
Yeah. So he'll
you
say.
Better have exact change.
How will he say no? Like, will he say no in a John Delancey kind of way?
That's where I'll stop.
Okay.
I'm stopping here.
Because he said something bad? Like, mean?
I'm saying nothing.
No, go ahead. It's not like you're going to besmirch him. He made his $5 million either way. What did he say?
No. Nope.
He probably said F off or something, didn't he?
Well,
it's in a book, effers. Reading Rainbow. Get out of here. All right. Whatever. Hollywood ruins people. So there you have it. That's fine. May your impression
I'm going to be in trouble with my people.
With what people? You're fine. Your Star Trek people?
Who are you calling your people?
The first law of Star Trek, do not besmirch the name of those who have run the helm of the ship. Or run the engineering. All right. Okay, what are we doing? Oh, the question. So what do you want? What do you want to do with this one? What do you think?
Matter of perspective. Let's see. Which season was that? I don't remember. I don't think it was late enough to be totally stupid. So I'll pick B.
B, gravimetric fields. Z.
Yeah, I guess.
All right, well, let's find out. Is it that? Oh. generator creates lambda fields.
Why would it do that?
The forbidden field.
That was Sally Field when she was a nun. It remained on after the station was destroyed, and now the Enterprise is affected by radiation from the generator every time it recharges. Here is a clip of something to do with that.
It's the field generator that Apgar used during his research. It's fully charged, it automatically emits an energy pulse and then takes 5 hours, 20 minutes, and 3 seconds to recharge itself.
It must have been left on after the explosion of the lab.
But why would a generator be affecting the Enterprise in this way?
It should not be. It is a harmless lambda field generator.
But we knew that somehow it was related to our radiation bursts, and then the pieces just started falling together.
We now know what is causing the bursts and why the science station exploded, sir.
Dear Mr. Burton, can I have you do read something on my tape recorder?
F*** off, hairball.
All right. There it is.
Wow.
Proof positive. Probably close to that. All right. There you go. Daryl, you missed it. You missed it. That puts you 3 down on the year. Is that right? 3.
I think that's right, yeah.
3? Yeah, I guess.
Still pretty good record, dude. We're almost 3 months into this year. I'm impressed. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. You can find him at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and at the Grumpy Cast. Daryl, play a game with us now. What are you going to call it?
Okay, Star Trek food or British food?
All right, we're going to give it. Here's your theme. Hold on, that's not a nice one. Here you go.
Chief Herbert, what's going on?
There seems to be some kind of strange bouncing effect.
All right, there you go.
Zabu stew.
Zabu stew?
Zabu stew.
Oh, Zabu stew. He's always such a cut up.
Huh.
What are the two things? What's the option?
British food or Star Trek food?
Okay. Zabu?
I've never heard of Zabu stew, so I would probably be leaning more towards Star Trek on this one.
And it's not like Zibu or Zabu or Zabu.
Like Z-A-B-U?
Mm-hmm.
It's what Kazar makes from his... Saber-toothed tiger buddy.
Yeah.
That's a deep cut Marvel reference for you folks.
Pretty good. All right. I you know what? I agree with Daryl, or Brian, rather, that it's...
Star Trekian.
Star Trekian, yeah. What do you say?
Well, Miles O'Brien does not like this actual... Well, okay, it's Cardassian food.
Ah, you almost said the whole world actual. That was a crazy. Oh, Daryl. You're a crazy man, that Daryl. All right. What's this? Oh, yeah.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news, and it's brought to you by...
Hey, yeah. That's my Shatner right there. Do you like video games?
Yeah.
Of course you do. Do you enjoy indie games?
Yeah.
Even better. What about roundtable discussions with some humor thrown in?
No.
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you owe it to yourself to check out the Nordy Dirtcast every week. Join 4 dudes in a basement as we talk about and review indie games, challenge each other for laughs, and give away the games we talk about. Check out the Nordy Dirtcast at nordydirk.com or search Nordy Dirtcast on iTunes.
Check this out. The Breakfast Club, you know the one.
The movie.
Yeah.
The thing with John Vernon, my favorite actor, John Vernon.
John Vernon as Principal, I should know this. Principal something.
Right.
Anyway, that guy.
Yeah.
He's the best.
Get the horns.
He's the best adult in a position of authority actor of all time.
He is the very definition of a John Hughes adult.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Clueless.
Yep.
Stupider than the teenagers, mm-hmm. and easily thwarted.
Right down to the bone.
Wasn't Dean Wormer? Did you see that was? Oh, Dean Wormer. That's right. Was John Vernon in Animal House? No, who was the?
John Vernon wasn't in Animal House, was he? No, different actor.
I think John Vernon was. Oh no, I'm confused.
Yeah, John Vernon is. Oh no, John Vernon is the Animal House guy.
Dean Wormer from Animal House.
Yeah,
yes.
Different actor. We're talking about a different dude in the John Hughes movie.
That's right. I honestly thought maybe it's Principal Vernon or something like that.
Yeah, I think the name, maybe that's what's throwing me off. Hold on. We're going to find out. Here we go.
Hard to believe that.
We love that movie. Hold on.
Exactly.
Paul Gleason plays Richard Vernon.
Paul
there
Gleason,
you go.
Right. Vernon. That's why. Okay. That's so why.
It's Principal Vernon.
Show Dick some respect.
That's pretty funny. He did. He died. Mm-hmm. He died in 2006 at the age of 67. Which is too bad. We really like that guy. Anyway, that movie is coming back to theaters, it turns out. They're doing a theatrical run for its 30th. Yeah, figure that one out and math that in your head. 30th anniversary. 30 years to the day after five teenagers walked into a Saturday detention center at the school as strangers and left as the Breakfast Club. Fans new and old will have the chance to see the 80s classic on the big screen. The film directed by teen movie master John Hughes. Teen movie master. It should be teen movie.
Well, no, it's hyphenated. Teen movie.
But if I master. Read it to somebody, it would sound weird, right? Right.
Teenage movie master.
Right. Frankie Muniz. has remained a favorite among both teenagers and adults, I agree, since its debut February 15th of 1985. In honor of its enduring popularity, The Breakfast Club will be shown in 430 theaters around the country for a two-day run on March 26th and 31st.
So yesterday was its actual 30-year anniversary.
Yeah, crazy, right?
Yeah.
Wait, today's 16th, yeah. You're right.
Yeah. I think...
my parents took me to that. Love that movie.
Definitely one of my favorite movies of all time, mm-hmm. right? I mean, that's, you know, one that I remember. I remember what theater I saw it in. I remember who I saw it with.
Mm-hmm.
It's
kind of an anthem for us, right?
It really was, yeah.
Yeah.
But looking back, before I saw it, I thought it was a really dumb name for a movie.
I'm trying to remember if I had any similar
opinion. And really, when you think about it, I mean, they bring their lunch.
Yeah, they do, don't they?
They don't eat breakfast together.
No. Okay, now it is a dumb name. Why is it named that? Why is it named that?
Right, because the only meal they eat is lunch.
Yeah, they came kind of early.
They came after breakfast.
Yeah.
Presumably they ate breakfast separately.
Brian, you just took a dump on my childhood.
Sorry, it just dawned on me. It's like, what?
The Breakfast Club. Why did they call it that? Okay, now I'm really bugged. We're typing this out.
this is Yahoo Answers. Is that where we're going to get something?
Why did they call it The Breakfast Club is an auto-complete Google question.
So obviously we're not the first to ask this question.
Yeah, it says high school... Johnny's friends said attention.
Squishy says, it's because I wouldn't go see a movie called The Lunch Bunch.
Maybe. Okay, wait. So it's kind of like a club. Oh, man, the answers on Yahoo Answers are the dumbest
things. It's all speculation. It's like, they're a club and they...
All right, mind hole blowers. I don't like that. 20 facts about, Breakfast Club, 5 Rat Pack actors, blah, 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 Raider Die. Okay. Called. Hold on.
Because when the Principal Vernon points at the clock, or is he... Yeah, he's principal. Like, points at the clock and says, it's now exactly 9 o'clock or something like that.
Yeah.
Or 8 o'clock.
Yeah. Here's one, straight dope.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, love the straight dope.
Yeah. It's a forum thing, though. Let's see. Breakfast Club was filmed in Township. Took school library, built set. Okay.
Jester has the answer.
Okay, what is it?
The film's title comes from the nickname invented by students and staff for detention at New Trier High School, the school attended by the son of one of John Hughes' friends. Thus, those who were sent to detention were designated members of the Breakfast Club.
Yeah, but okay, fair enough. But there was no, like, there's no reference to it in the movie. I guess it never bothered me until today.
Well, they say it at the very end. It's the very last. Wow, there it is. Another movie where the very last thing you hear in the movie, other than the sweeping sounds of Simple Minds, is sincerely yours, The Breakfast Club.
Yeah, that's true. There's the name right at the end. They didn't do that in RoboCop.
No, that would have been funny. Yeah. Have it RoboCop 2. Yeah. Like, have them say, we can thank RoboCop 2.
Also, yeah, like also. Boy, you know, the police really kicked it up a notch. Yes, but we can also thank RoboCop 2.
Yes.
All right.
I'm getting an idea for the next TMS good. Film festival.
That's a good that's a good idea, dude. Oh, speaking of which.
Yeah.
We're going to be looking at entries today.
Yes.
Contest's over, folks. Although if you snuck one in right now, I wouldn't know because the forum's still live.
Right.
But if not, we've got all we're going to take, and we'll be checking those out this week. So excited. Yes.
Ironic Name might be submitting an update to his movie because he wants to change some of the Foley work, apparently.
He can totally do that.
right?
That's not a problem.
Zeladir says, sincerely yours, the Lord of the Rings, the Two Towers. Everything just be sincerely yours.
That's amazing. Every movie should have that at the end now. This has been, I'm glad I brought this article up. Doom, you know Doom, remember Doom, the game Doom?
Sure, sure.
That's also very old. I think that came out in 92. So that would be what, 22 years old now?
Oh, wow.
Think of that. It's closer to that game was closer to the launch of The Breakfast Club than it is to our lives today. Weird.
Sure.
Anyway, Doom has somebody made a mod for Doom all these years later. We're talking about the original ass Doom, okay? Not Doom 3 or whatever they're working on now. Doom. It adds Instagram filters and a selfie stick. The selfie stick is actually kind of awesome. And I hate that stuff.
Now, you haven't gone into the PTR and tried the selfie stick for World of Warcraft, right?
No, I've not done it. Well, I have, because I'd have to do a PTR thing. I don't want to do that. I hate doing that. But I'll do it. Yeah. But I'm sure I'll get a laugh out of it like the first two times I use it when the patch goes live, and then I won't care anymore. But it's kind of there's a bit of a fad going on, and everyone's jumping in, including this old Doom modder who says, hey, why not bring some of the modern into the old? It's called Insta-Doom, by the way.
Insta-Doom.
37 filters, photo filters, you recognize from the video social network thing, Instagram. So you got like Mayfair, Rise, Inkwell, and many more. You adjust the image's colors, basically. And it has a selfie stick. Literally, the camera will whip around, and you will see, what's his name? The Green Marine from Doom.
Yeah, I don't know.
Looking all pissed and grumpy, holding a big, long black stick, and at the end of it is the camera view of you holding the stick. It's awesome. It's awesome. It's so stupid. So stupid. I'm glad someone made it. This is what I love, because that's not anything anyone really needs in their life.
Right.
But the fact that somebody can freaking make that is great. And I support his desire to make it. HelloFresh.com supports your desire to eat well. Yesterday we had shrimp and steak and crab. And I'll tell you what it reminded me of. My wife made it. And she made it for Valentine's Day. We have a yearly tradition of having really good food for Valentine's Day. We have all the kids there. That's the whole point of it, is to do it with the kids. And because Taylor had another commitment, we had to do it on Sunday instead of Saturday. So we did, and it was fantastic, and it was really good. And all I thought the whole time was, HelloFresh makes food as good as my wife does. And that's why we like them, and why you should go there to HelloFresh.com. They'll send you the farm fresh ingredients for whatever recipe you choose from one of their fantastic chefs. And to save you a little money, use the code MORNINGSTREAM at checkout for 50% off. They'll ship the stuff right to you, man. It's amazing. That's HelloFresh.com and the code MORNINGSTREAM. And it was great, Brian. I mean, oh my gosh.
Oh, well, just you describing it sounded amazing. We went to a dinner party last night over to a friend's house, and he cooked dinner. He's an amazing cook. He did like a puff, like basically a Wellington with salmon as opposed to a beef Wellington. Mm-hmm. That was fantastic. Yep. And we sat there and watched the SNL 40-year anniversary thing.
Okay, in a paragraph or less, your judgment of the SNL 40.
Well done. Could have used fewer clips and could have done a lot more with taking skits and characters that you know and love and integrating them with skits and characters from other eras. Mm. So like have Wayne's World, and then have the Wild and Crazy Guys as guests, or something along those lines. You know, where you take a couple different eras of the show and merge them together. I think that would have been that. That's what you take advantage of when you've got 100 different SNL cast members over the years. And they sure talked about the 5 years that Lorne Michaels took off a lot.
Did they?
Yeah. But they didn't have anybody there from that time period.
Nope. I was wondering about that. So no Randy Quaid,
Denny Dillon and Robert Downey Jr. No, I think Robert Downey Jr. and Anthony Michael Hall during the lean years. I think they were. Yeah,
definitely. That was them. They had Joan Cusack was in that. That was a weird.
And there was a little far too much Kanye for me.
There's always too much Kanye for me. Are you kidding
me?
They
had a lot of Kanye in the show.
Yeah, I don't need that in my life.
And even a whole music segment where it was just Kanye being weird for weird's sake.
How about did they have in there in this thing? So I was getting play by plays from Dave Michael because I haven't seen it. I wasn't. Mm-hmm. I'm an unplugger. Sure. Damn it! I didn't have a way to watch it.
You'll
live.
See it exactly. Hulu will have it before.
Sure, long, and I'd rather see the better parts anyway. But the only person I forgot to ask if he showed up was Mike Myers. Was Mike Myers there?
Oh yeah, he was on there a lot. Like there was a Wayne's World, some Wayne's World business, and
cool. I heard Victoria Jackson was in the audience. Is that true?
She might have been. That's right. They never even showed her.
Somebody said they saw some panning shot where she was down there waving or something.
They maybe, yeah, they probably did. I mean, they, you know, there's no way to have everybody who's ever been a cast member on stage doing something.
Also, she's crazy now, so.
Yeah, they severely underused Dan Aykroyd.
Mm. Yeah, he did like Blues Brothers and that was his, it, right?
What's that?
Blues Brothers and then he was out.
Blues Brothers, that part was at least pretty good, but they basically made him redo an entire Bass-O-Matic commercial from the 70s and not integrate anything really new into it. Hmm. It's just
kind of repeated it.
Yeah.
I was surprised to hear Bill Murray showed up, surprised to hear Eddie Murphy showed up. Eddie Murphy hasn't been in one of these reunion things in 32 years.
Right. Yeah, he almost wants to make people forget the fact that this is what made him big, like what made him a household name.
Yeah. I mean, he saved the show, too. Their ratings were in the pooper.
He really did. They even talked about that. Chris Rock came out and did a really nice introduction to get Eddie Murphy on the stage to say, we'll be right back after these commercials,
that was really weird. That is weird.
Yeah.
I guess it's the weird I'm interested in. Did the ghost of Chris Farley come or no?
No, he was, you know, he was ever present. Of course, they did a tribute, you know, the montage, death montage. Mm-hmm. And there were a few people I didn't realize. I didn't realize Demetra Vance died. Mm-hmm. Who else? I forgot that Charles Rocket died. I guess he wasn't the first F-bomber, the first F-bomber on Saturday Night Live, but he was probably the most notable for getting fired for F-bombing on Saturday Night Live.
I remember that, yeah. How was Chevy Chase? Did he act like this was all
too
beneath
good for
him?
This business? No, he was funny. Oh, you know who was hilarious? Mm. And this is the clip you'll have to seek out, is Norm Macdonald. They had four of the Weekend Update hosts all standing up together to introduce Chevy Chase because he was the first update.
Sure.
Host, and they kind of want to pay him homage.
I love Norm, you know that. So anything
I
with
know
Norm
you love Norm,
it.
But they had Seth Meyers, Colin Quinn, Norm Macdonald, and Kevin Nealon all standing together. And Kevin, you know, they start with Seth or they start with Colin, and he says, "Yeah, somebody dropped my cue cards, and that's why I mumbled my way through Weekend Update so many times." And then Kevin Nealon does his Subliminal Man kind of introduction, like, you know, they're. There was only one person that ever really that I hated the whole Saturday Night Live cast, Norm Macdonald. And then they cut to Norm Macdonald, and I think he's hammered.
He's always hammered, that guy.
And Seth Meyers even like is joking, "Oh, you're going to do this now? You're doing this now?" So look for that clip and see what you think. But
I love Norm. Freaking love Norm.
It. Totally killing it, but
No Dennis Miller, he's also a little crazy now, so I'm sure that him and Victoria Jackson are kind of shunned, I hear.
Yeah, that's funny. They never even showed Dennis Miller in the Weekend Update desk, and then there was actually Weekend Update that featured Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, and Jane Curtin all doing the news.
That's cool.
No Dennis Miller other than just a clip. It's funny because I say a lot of these people, they showed him in clips and it was really cool to see him in clips, but I almost feel like this is a 40-year anniversary and every fifth week you can tune into Saturday Night Live and see a clip show like, oh, it's all political clips or it's all Valentine's Day clips or all sports guys. So they could have eased up on the clips and just taken advantage of having all of this great comedic talent in one place at one time and do more more jokes. Miley Cyrus came out and did a cover of 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover, which was pretty good. But again, I think the music was unnecessary.
Mm.
You know, Kanye West, they had like four music breaks at least.
Well, they're trying to play up that tradition of SNL being a big showcase for music, right?
They did. And they could have replaced any one of those music performances. McCartney, Kanye, Miley Cyrus. I can't remember who else was, but
was Chris Elliott
Brothers,
there?
Paul Simon.
Do they have Chris Elliott by chance? No.
A brief glimpse of Chris Elliott. Oh, you know what was really cool? Something they did that I wish they would have shown more of were everybody's audition tapes, clips from their, not audition tapes, but the auditions they do to get on the show. So they actually have to get up on the Saturday Night Live stage.
Yeah.
Here's some characters I'm working on. And it's amazing. You see them doing these characters, which they've been working on and coming up with. And these are the characters that they brought to Saturday Night Live. Sometimes seasons after they get put onto the show.
Sure. They get their break, their lucky break, and get to run one of their characters. Yeah. Which is probably why they're so, like, Bill Murray can get up and very quickly do his lounge lizard guy without any trouble, because he likely brought that to the table and had hashed that out a ton of times on other stages. And
Nick Ocean or Nick Rivers or Nick. Yeah, exactly. Nick, awesome. Whichever one is appropriate. And he did do that last night too. He did his Nick character with Paul Schaefer on keyboards.
That's cool. You got Schaefer in there.
Mm-hmm. It's Paul Schaefer, the first F-bomber.
Oh, was he? I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Did he get fired for it?
Nope.
Oh, only music guy.
Only Charles Rocket and the woman recently, and I can't remember her name, but she was on Parks and Rec for a while. I can't remember her name.
No Chris Elliott. Those bastards.
No Chris Elliott.
Not that I need him on there, but, you know, it's just I was having kind of like bingo with myself about who might or might not show up on this thing.
Yeah. Well, and you'd be amazed. I mean, yeah, when you watch the Hulu clips, you'll be amazed at how many people they did get for this. And a lot of celebrities making cameos. So
there you go.
That was cool.
Well, in other news, a suspicious banana-like object has been determined not to be a threat.
Oh, thank goodness.
Emergency personnel and a bomb disposal expert have determined that a suspicious banana hanging in a pine tree in Nebraska is simply a harmless geocache. A utility worker spotted the device wrapped in a yellow tape and attached to a wire Wednesday in Northeast Lincoln. The worker called 911. That's the number you call when there's trouble, you know. Sure. Police, firefighters, and a bomb technician determined the banana was not a bomb, but a prize hunted by people on geocaching quests. Geocachers across the world use GPS devices to track hidden objects. That's pretty funny. You know what, though? That's kind of a fail, though, because your geocaches are supposed to be very well hidden. It's not supposed to look like a banana hanging from a tree.
Not visible. Yeah. And unfortunately, neither of the two articles, neither the HuffPo article or the Journal Star article, show the banana.
I know, I'm ticked. I want a photo of this
thing. Curious to see what this thing looks like that made it so threatening looking.
Mm-hmm. I meant to do this and totally forgot, but my last time in Vegas, there's a bunch of geocaches on the Strip.
Oh, on the Strip?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, and I have the app and everything, and I was gonna, and I just forgot. I totally spaced it out. So
maybe
if I end up going in April, we're totally doing that.
We're totally doing that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's funny to think about where they would stash that crap. Also, a little frightening.
Right.
The look inside the rectum of the guy selling porno cards.
There'll be a guy there that looks like a bum. He's not a bum. Lift his hat.
Yeah, but look in his bum and see what you can find. 50 Shades of Grey and Final News made box office history. The romantic drama, they refer to it as a rom draw. Yeah. What do you call it?
I would call it erotic fanfic.
Yeah, basically. Which stars Dakota Johnson and Jamie. We should make some fanfic and then make millions of dollars. That lady's worth like $80, $81 million or something.
Let's do a Hunger Games fanfic, change the names, and make $158 million.
That'd be great. I'd like to do that.
Okay.
The movie made $81.7 million over the weekend. It took in $158 million internationally, which brings its total to $239 million. According to Fox News, 50 Shades of Grey broke records by being the highest grossing film to debut over America's President's Day weekend. It's among the top earners of any R-rated movie in the box office history, having played at 3,646 theaters. Director Sam Taylor Johnson's 50 Shades of Grey, which is based on E.L. James' erotic novel, was made with an estimated budget of only $40 million. That's a big profit. They doubled their money just in the weekend here in the States. That's just nuts.
Crazy.
Anyway, Kingsman Secret Service, which I'm hearing incredible things about.
I really want to see that. I did not realize that was based on a Mark Miller
comic book, right?
Comic book, yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that it's doing well. It was basically him saying, I don't like the way James Bond is now, so I want to make a comic book about the way I think James Bond should be, and that's what that movie is.
Cool.
$35 million in second place. The action-adventure comedy stars Firth and Jackson and all these people. Who cares? The other thing that did all right was the SpongeBob movie at third place. Did okay. Like yeah. 35 something million. Yeah.
Good for the sponge.
And all the reviewers love that movie. I don't know what the hell's going on, but some weird stuff going on in SpongeBob Land. Everyone loves that movie. Anyway, there you go. 50 Shades of whatever. And I was telling you before the show, and I still ask this question. For a movie that made that much money and supposedly that many people saw it, I've yet to talk to anyone online or locally or anywhere in my life that I communicate with who claims to have seen it.
Right, who will honestly admit that they've seen
yeah.
it.
I mean, I can tell you I didn't see it, but and that's what everyone else is saying. So we might, but I didn't, or you know. I don't know if believe everyone. I think somebody saw it and is telling me they didn't.
Tell you what, so we've got an emails and a couple calls later on the show. Could we say that if there's somebody out there who did see 50 Shades of Grey and is okay talking about it,
yeah,
they can call in during the last segment today?
Yeah, that'd be fine. We'll take cool. that. My Extra Life is the account you want to use on Skype, and you can call right in and we'll add you to the call.
Totally. That's a great idea. Judge. We won't. No. Obviously, we won't make fun of you.
You don't even have to use your real name if you don't want to. We sure. don't care. It's like you can wear as much of a fake mustache and an overcoat as you want inside of your little porn store. It's totally fine with us. TweakedAudio.com sponsoring today's show. Use the code STREAM at checkout for 33% off these fantastic earbuds and audio accessories made to work with whatever you're plugging them into, engineered for durability, noise reduction, all with a lifetime warranty. That's at TweakedAudio.com and the code STREAM for 33% off. We're going to come back in a minute with major spoilers. And we'll get to those emails and calls after that. Before all that, though, Brian, play me a song.
Okay. How about something going out to Dustin Anderson emailed in and said, I've taken a job that gets me into the field that I want to be in, IT. I will officially be done working retail as of the 14th of February. I know there's no show on Saturday. Please fit it in whenever you can near then. I want a song to commemorate my leaving Office Max, Office Depot / Staples, whatever they're going to call themselves in the future, behind and head off to the corporate world. Thanks for all you guys do. Love, Sheriff Lobo. Sorry, Dustin Anderson.
One of the best ones. That's a good one.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
All right. So he wanted to hear anything from the Red Hot Chili Peppers Rock and Roll Hall of Fame EP. And I can oblige. They actually... In 2012, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, as part of their induction, released an EP of covers that they recorded. Some with the Hall of Fame, but others, things that they'd recorded prior and released separately, including this song, which is a cover of the Ramones. It is the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And of all the songs on that cover EP, I think this one feels the most like the Chili Peppers being true to their sound. So much so that if you don't know the Ramones original, you might just assume that this is actually a Red Hot Chili Peppers original song. It's Havana Affair, originally by the Ramones, covered here by the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yes.
P.T. boat on the way to Havana. I used to make a living, man, picking the banana. Now I'm a god for the CIA. Hooray. The USA. Baby, baby, make me loco. Baby, baby, make me mambo. Sent to spy on a Cuban talent show. First stop, Havana, go, go. I used to make a living, man, picking up banana. Hooray for Havana. P.T. boat on the way to Havana.
need some pizza, 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 pizza. Every time I want that pizza, 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 I go to David's Pizza.
David's Pizza, 209-477-2677.
Pizza.
Even the mighty Ramses is taking me for a wimp.
The Morning Stream. There's a chicken in my room. I'm hungry for chicken.
My time on the recovery table just is the gift that keeps on giving. Thanks, Scott Fletcher, for that.
Totally, yes.
All right, so here's the deal.
Yes.
Shut up, Peter Weller. You didn't tell me that Norm MacDonald did the Jeopardy thing again
I forgot he was there as well. Yeah,
I love that stuff.
Yeah, the Jeopardy thing was really well done, and that kind of is the thing I was hoping they were going to do throughout the show, right? You've got, you know, your Will Ferrell as Alex Trebek, mm-hmm. and of course Sean Connery, and then the rest of it should be this rotating cavalcade of SNL actors from all the different seasons coming in and doing their most memorable celebrity impersonations.
Crazy.
And you had Justin Bieber, and you had Norm MacDonald spot on Burt Reynolds.
I love his Burt Reynolds.
They could have done a lot more.
Or did he pretend to be Ferguson, Turd Ferguson again?
Yes. Yeah.
I'm all in, dude. All right, I'll have to catch up because... you know, I love that stuff.
Yep. And once again, Kate McKinnon and her impersonation of Justin Bieber, she is going to be the next Kristen Wiig. She's going to be the next breakout star from this thing. She deserves every bit of recognition that she gets from this.
Well, good. You got Larry David in there, Steve Martin. I'm just scrolling mm-hmm. through this. Oh, my gosh. Mike Myers looks like an old woman. Anyway, whatever.
He kind of does. Oh, yeah. And Paul Simon. Somebody needs to tell me what happened to Paul Simon. I think he had some work done.
I think he just aged, right? Or does he just look really old now?
I think he had some work done.
Well,
there's some strange facial stuff.
I blame Edie Brickell, who has been married to him, right? Aren't they married?
Yeah, yeah.
Then either that or the New Bohemians have been,
a little rough.
A little rough living. Yeah, it's not easy living with those guys. I understand. All right, we're going to call Steven now.
Yay!
Do it the hard way.
I hate the lean over method.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll get it fixed.
I'll fix it up. Up, ip. I'll fix it up. Joining us with Major Spoilers, Mr. Steven Schleicher himself. Hello.
Good morning.
Hey, man. How are you? What's going on?
It's Monday.
Yeah? Are you feeling it? You feeling the Monday?
Not really this week.
The sting, the pinch? The pinch of
yeah,
Monday.
Yeah, that's it. Feeling pinch of Monday. Feeling the pinch of my waistband.
That's right. Well, Steven, it's a fantastic time in our lives when you're on the show because we get to talk about some of the things we love the most, which involve comic books and movies and pop culture and the whatnot.
Pizza and bananas and
right,
chicken.
Right, exactly. You've come bearing some news, and one of them is kind of a little Johnson pulley, but I love this idea that Hasbro's got something crazy to show at the Toy Fair.
Well, yeah, a lot of things coming out of Toy Fair. Two things we can talk about. Definitely Hasbro, then also some Lego stuff. If you want to get a look at some of the dinosaurs from the upcoming Jurassic World movie, Hasbro unveiled their complete lineup of Jurassic World toys, including some for the preschool toy line, which look pretty crazy when you see a giant white and blue dinosaur, spoiler alert, mm-hmm. in that play school kid-friendly form.
Interesting.
That would be a little weird, yeah.
So they're going to do, according to the trailers, the trailers are real iffy about showing that big dinosaur, the big one. But I've noticed that just like in the Marvel stuff, oftentimes we have to rely on like, you know, Lego or somebody to accidentally spoil what the hell we're looking at.
Yeah, there's actually, okay, so if you don't want to listen, so here's a potential big spoiler for the upcoming Ant-Man movie. Lego was showing off their Ant-Man set. And it does say, the images all say on the box, confidential. Yet, if you look at the minifigures they had on display, you had Yellow Jacket, which is the big villain. We knew that. You've got Ant-Man, who is, what's his name, Scott?
Lang?
Yeah, Scott Lang. But then they also have in this same set Hank Pym dressed up as Ant-Man.
Oh, see?
Oh, really?
Well, yeah. Mike, I kind of predicted that anyway, because you're going to have have some kind of, I swear it's going to be a passing of the torch movie. That's what that is. It'll be like, oh, well, let's just say Hank Pym was Ant-Man for a long time, and now he's got to find a true successor, you know, Batman Beyond style. He's got to find somebody to don the suit, and then he'll sort of be headquarters for him, and then probably die, is my thinking. But anyway.
I don't know if this other one is a spoiler or not, but maybe it's just Hasbro having fun with people. But you know how the big lightsaber with the two...
The thing's coming off the side. Coming off the side. Right, yes. The three-pronged saber.
Mm-hmm. Hasbro has a build-your-own lightsaber set coming up in 2015 that lets you stick on, like, 15 different attachments in a number of different configurations. It just looks silly is what it looks like. And I don't know if they're being serious in some of the samples that they're showing, how you can connect these L brackets and T joints and everything together to create your own lightsaber, or if this is something that's actually going to be in the movie with people wielding so many different flavors of lightsaber.
That would be interesting, because if they, on the one hand, it's like, well, let's take advantage of the PR boom of everybody watching the trailer and laughing and making jokes and memes about multiple attachments. That could be what they're doing, and that's kind of what I hope they're doing, because I don't know that I'm in the mood for, like, you know, lightsabers that are basically big, giant, weird things. You know?
For what they're doing, it does seem like a total goof. But on the other hand, you know, the licensee, Lucasfilm and Disney probably wouldn't let them release something that is mocking their property.
Yeah,
to an extent, it just feels really weird. So
that's a really good point.
Yeah. I think that's weird.
All right, give me a prediction though. You think it's fake? You think it's real? If you had to put money on, let's say I said, "Damn it, put $1,000 on this right now," and you had to pick a side.
I'm gonna bet we're gonna see more than the one that we've seen in the trailer.
Okay, I think that's a fair. I would agree with you.
Yeah.
There's gonna be something. It may not be as crazy as that toy thing, but it'll be crazy nonetheless.
On the other hand, Hasbro is having fun with Furbaka.
Ah, Furbaka.
Chewbacca meets Furby.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, jeez.
Is this a thing?
This is a thing, and it's got an app, and they were demonstrating the app at Toy Fair. And just imagine a brown, furry Furby with a bandolier across the chest and giant white eyes. I don't know. I didn't see any video come out of this thing, so I don't know if when it talks, it's like, or anything like that.
Oh, and it's got the LCD eyes that look around as opposed to the mechanical ones.
Yeah. I'm sure every time you play a game with it, it says, "Let the Furby win."
Yeah. Wow. Right. I don't know, man. That's something I'd probably buy just for kicks.
I was going to say, you know, I had a Furby in the late 90s or whenever it was, early 2000s when it came out, but... I would probably get this.
How? Oh, wow. Yeah. Hold on. I'm just looking at the link here. How old are Furbies?
They go back to like late 90s? 90 something. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's see. Furbies. Just curious.
Well, while you're looking that up, also may want to avoid the story about Hasbro's 2015 Marvel toys. They've got a bunch of Age of Ultron stuff mixed in there. And there is a very interesting Vision action figure that's in that mix, but I don't know if it's related to Age of Ultron or something else. I think it's from the Age of Ultron line, but it looks rather interesting. So
you're talking about just the green and yellow one, right?
No. Oh. So if you're on that page, scroll way down to almost the bottom and look on the right side, and you will see something that is not in color.
Oh, gotcha.
And I don't know if that is ghosting out.
That's comic canon, I think, actually. Okay. That's... Yeah, I want to say that's a version of Vision that did appear in comics.
Okay, so that may
didn't know it was barefoot though. That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Oh, I see it. Interesting.
Speaking of another Marvel item, I know we're running long here.
No, you're fine. Go ahead.
For those people who have been wanting Miles Morales in the upcoming Spider-Man movie, Miles Morales is actually getting a minifigure treatment in 2015 from Lego. I believe it's coming out in June. This is something that we just popped up on the site not too long ago.
Are people seeing that as a hint or something?
No, because this one, I think this is just them playing off of their sets, because they have in that set, it's got Carnage and Miles Morales fighting with some shield jet thing. So that may be more off of the cartoon line. In fact, I believe it's the Ultimate Spider-Man animated series.
The you know, a minifig as Carnage is kind of a hoot.
It is. They've done one with Venom before. They've also got an Iron Spider minifigure coming out this year.
Oh, look at that. I see it. He's got the big tendrils in the back, like the big iron. Yeah. Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah.
Well.
So it's a big weekend for toys. I mean, that just scratches the surface.
And the toy fair is, that was the
toll. It's over.
It's over now. Okay.
Oh, wait. No, wait. I think it goes on until tomorrow. I think it was the 14th through the 17th. So one more day.
All right.
But most of the stuff was shown off on Saturday with booth tours and everything. So you can find it if you do a search for toy fair. We have some of it. We have the action figure stuff. We have some of the Lego stuff. Not all of the Lego stuff because, man, Lego has like 100 million sets coming out in the next year.
Oh, my gosh. That Hulkbuster figure. I want that bad.
I'm such a toy freak when it comes to stuff like this. I love collecting action figures.
Ooh, you know what we need to do is set up a live debate between you and Patrick from France. He really, really hates toy collectors, or not toy collectors per se,
what?
But he doesn't. He thinks that kind of collectible stuff is silly and dumb, and he doesn't understand why anyone would do it.
Really?
Oh,
how
yeah.
funny.
Yeah, he's totally hardcore about it. So I would be all up for hearing.
Because
I vote for you.
I take him out of the box and I play with him. I don't.
Yeah, so do I.
He'd call you even sillier for that, probably. Like he thinks whole idea of the toys at all is silly, and he can't. Like he did. We talked about it in the instance. That's the reason I'm bringing this up. So
just this last episode of the instance, I missed it, so I need to listen to it.
Yeah, you should check it out because we went deep about collectibles, and
really, really wrong, Patrick.
All right, well, that's cool. So tell me about this hundreds of Star Trek props and things that are on auction. What's going on with that?
So there is a new Star Trek auction that's going up, and this is from, I forget what the company is, PropWorks is putting this on. They've got over 100 items, things from like cast and crew jackets and shirts and hats, all the way up to costumes worn in the show. If you want to get 7 of 9's brown Starfleet uniform, starting bid is $3,000.
Holy smokes.
If you want to get
it unwashed.
If you want to get a original series mid-grade phaser, $40,000 is the starting price on that one.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, how about this one? I want this. One of these is a Star Trek DS9 Dabo chip. It's like one of the gambling chips from Quark's Bar. $100.
That would be cool. Yeah.
But that's the starting bid.
Yeah, it's going to go more than that.
That's a chip set. That's not just one chip.
It's a whole set?
It's a whole set.
You could use those for poker chips, I wonder, probably?
Yeah, probably.
I mean, not that I would. I'd probably keep it under glass. But let's see. Mid-grade phaser from TOS.
Yeah, the
40 grand starting bid. Holy freaking crap. Well, there you go.
You can get a Starfleet medical tricorder from the Next Generation starting at 4,000.
Mm-hmm.
Got to have a lot of money to get into that kind of
collection.
I wonder what Patrick would say. I wonder what, that one's up on the auction block.
What?
I wonder what Patrick would say about collecting these kinds of things.
He'd probably say it's really, really dumb. I don't know. I don't know. He went off on toys the other day. I don't know what his deal is.
Get the Harry Kim infant Starfleet uniform.
Oh, weird. When he was a baby?
Yeah, $100 on that one, too.
Yeah. You can't show your Harry Kim in public, if you know what I'm saying. Trials and Tribulations Tribbles. Tribbles from the DS9 crossover episode, starting at a set of three for $300, or you can get one for $100, starting at $100. Wow, these are cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
Somebody out there will buy them. I was trying to tell Daryl to buy some, and he was like, no, I don't have the money to do that.
Yeah.
There's a DS9 LCARS panel that looks like it even lights up. Like it's got the a little battery thing that somebody's jury-rigged to add to it. That's kind of cool.
By the way, chat room, Art Janier, go back and listen to that episode. I'm not saying he disagreed with me over whether toys are cool to collect or not. He made a very specific pointed comment about how he thinks it's silly, but that was a topic for a different day. That's what I'm referring to. So go listen to that. You didn't hear him say that clearly because I'm not talking about the other stuff. Anyway, there's that. What else is going on here? Oh, look at this. Scribbled? Tell me what this
scribed.
Is. What the hell is this?
So this is, it's a virtual magazine bookstore kind of thing that's been around for a long time. But now they finally announced a comic book reader where you can subscribe. I think it's $8.99 a month. They've got a 30-day free trial going on right now. But they've partnered with Marvel, IDW, Top Shelf, Valiant, Cinescope, and a couple of more. Basically, you get unlimited comic book reading for $8.99 a month. Now, there's a catch to it. The books, I believe, are 6 months old. So if you're looking for the latest and greatest current stuff, you're not going to get it in this scribed subscription service. but you may be able to, read a backlog of comics essentially for free. It's like a Netflix service to an extent.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, I don't know. In a world where we have been begging for subscription services for comics,
mm-hmm. Now Comixology has a subscription service where you can get your comics on a monthly basis. You just sign up, and every time that a new issue comes out, it charges you, and it comes down to your Comixology account. You can read it when it's released. This one's a lot cheaper, obviously, but it's at the cost of having to wait 6 months for it to read.
Right.
It's somewhat related to the Marvel Unlimited service,
kind of
the same way. Mm-hmm. The only thing that is that Scribd is missing is DC Comics. Well, they're missing a whole bunch, but DC Comics is the big heavy that has not joined up with them yet.
I would love if they did that because I'm okay reading old stuff. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah,
because a lot of it I miss, and
certainly if you're on a budget, that's the way to go.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of an all-you-can-eat Netflix style thing is kind of what I'm hoping we end up with at some point.
Go give it a try. They've got a 30-day free trial, and then after that they charge you, like I said, $9 a month.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look like it's bad. I've tried it on the computer, and it works fine. It's just like the other online comic readers that you have, like Comixology. I haven't tried out the iPad version, although when we talked about it last week on Finally Friday, a couple of people have said it's just like the guided view on your iPad that you can get in Comixology.
Oh, well, that's good. Because the one thing I don't like about the Marvel one, Unlimited, is the app still kind of blows compared to the Comixology app. It just doesn't have their guided version kind of sucks. The pinch and zoom's a little weird on it, a little janky. Whatever. The future is this, I believe. I think it's just a matter until they all kind of come around to a Netflix-style thing with a little bit of delay. You know, Netflix is not going to... They may do some original comics that way, just like Netflix does original shows and programming, but it's going to be rare that you'd get, just like with movies, you're going to have a movie out for a while, and then it'll show up on Netflix. Well, that's okay. Mm-hmm. Have a bunch of comics out for a while, and then they show up on this app.
Well, as long as the comic book publishers are trying to appease the brick-and-mortar stores, you're not going to get same-day release under a subscription format this.
Good point. All right. Finally, Amazon made a goof, and they released a bunch of Lego sets early, which they, I guess, didn't mean to do.
I don't know if they meant to or if it was just like an advanced promo or whatever, but one of the sets that they showed off at Toy Fair this weekend that hasn't been released yet, the March catalog isn't here, the set doesn't arrive till March, is Iron Man versus Ultron. And it popped up on Amazon for a short time on, I want to say, Wednesday last week. I went ahead and grabbed it. In fact, I grabbed two of them. They also have the Attack on Avengers Tower set that's coming my way this afternoon.
Wow.
And I got them both, and I did a unboxing build of the Iron Man versus Ultron set up on Major Spoilers right now. You can't get that set yet. They've taken it down off the Amazon site.
Oh, well, Brian, you'll have to wait a little longer, buddy.
I am. Well, it's that helicarrier that I'm waiting for. Mm.
That one apparently also at some point was released early because there have been a couple of online reviews done of it. And those people that are doing it, they've sworn up and down and they're frequently asked questions on their site that they don't have any kind of relationship with Lego. And they get their sets like everyone else, either through international websites or through through the Lego store like everyone else. So if you're really looking to get it early, or you can wait 15 more days, do a search.
I just want one of the Ultron minifigs. Look at that guy. That's badass.
That's cool.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. I don't know. Ultron is Ultron, right? It's the whole consciousness, regardless of whether it's in one of these centuries like this or in the main Ultron figure. But it is pretty cool looking.
Yeah, I
like it. How does Patrick feel about Legos?
I don't know.
How does France feel about Denmark?
He needs to have a free... that's a better question. He needs to have some kids, and then he'll appreciate this stuff.
Right.
Yeah, he's fine. And you guys, I'm mostly just ribbing Patrick.
I really don't see the point in buying toys based on comic characters.
It wouldn't be the first time Patrick and I have disagreed adamantly about a certain subject. Sure. So it's all in good fun, but he definitely has some issues with toys for some reason.
My youngest loves playing with Legos, and in the new Justice League versus Bizarro League DVD set, they have this Bizarro Batman, and I've got it sitting here in my office, and he comes down about once a day, and he just went off. He's three, and he went off the other day about how he can't get a Lego Bizarro Batman because all these old people are buying them and he can't get them.
That's awesome.
This kid, I'm going to have a recorder around him all the time because he went off for like 3 or 4 minutes just talking about how it was unfair he couldn't get a Bizarro figure.
That's great.
I think he was asking if he could have mine. I was like, well, sorry, kid. That's the way it goes. Funny. Someday you'll have your own money.
Raising him right, dude. That's what's going on there. Tell the fine people at home where they can find more Major Spoilers or anything you might have going on right now.
Majorspoilers.com, Major Spoilers on Twitter, and Major Spoilers video on YouTube.
Yeah, go watch those. They're good. They're high quality, and production is great, which is not always a YouTube thing you can get, but you can get it from Steven, that's for sure. Steven, have a fantastic week. We'll see you next
time. Thank you, guys. Talk to you later.
See ya.
Did I tell everybody the new Nerdtacular.com website is up? You can go there now. It looks rad on mobile as well as everywhere else, and it's got a bunch of faces on there. And dates and times and links and all the stuff you're looking for. Schedule's going up there soon. Ticket sales will go up there on the 25th. That's, what are we, a week away from that? A week and a half away?
Wow.
So lots coming, but the new site is up there and running. So go there. Nerdtacular.com. More details to come. Brian, let's do some emails.
Sir.
And calls. They're brought to you by...
My cousin was diagnosed with cancer exactly 8 years to the day after her mother passed away from the same disease. Her insurance won't cover all of her expenses for surgery and treatment, so I come to you, dear TMS listener, to help her get through this difficult time in her life. Please visit GoFundMe.com/ReaderCancerFund. That's R-E-E-D-E-R, Cancer Fund. Read her story and donate if you can. Cheers and thanks, you silly people, you.
That's right. You bunch of silly, generous people. Brian, I've got a call to start us off with.
Okay.
By the way, if you want to call in and tell us if you saw that movie, Fifty Shades, and tell us about it, you can start doing that now. My Extra Life is the single, in one word, My Extra Life is the name of the Skype handle. You don't have to add me or anything. Just call it. We'll add you to the call. But before all that, here's a call from somebody, and I don't know quite what to make of it.
Hey, so on TMS on Tuesday, you said, see you next Tuesday, right before Jerry came on. Night attack coincidence? I think not.
I know. See, I don't understand that call at all. See you next Tuesday?
Yeah.
Have
you heard that?
No.
C, letter C.
Yeah.
U,
yeah.
Letter U.
Oh! It's an anagram? Or not anagram, but a whatever. Right.
Really?
Yes. Is that a night attack thing too, though?
I guess it is. I don't know. I guess apparently it is. Yeah, Jester says it is a night attack thing.
I never heard that. And I would always say, if I'm going to see somebody the following Tuesday, I'd always say, see you next Tuesday.
Right.
All right. Well, now I get it. This call was a complete mystery to me when it came in. It's like, what is going on? All right.
Good.
Well, now it makes sense. Chris wrote in, says, hey, Scott, just woke up and had a dream that I thought you guys might get a kick out of. You were Batman, not Bruce Wayne, though. You were still Scott Johnson. And I was riding with you in the Batwing. As Scott Johnson, you were using the Batwing to go on vacation. You flew into the Batcave, which had an entrance above the movie theater. And I realized you were using a set from a Pee-wee movie in your Batcave. Like the set, I guess they shot in the set, not a little mini set. Bear in mind, this set was completely made up in my dreaming mind, as was the sequence that was filmed there, with Pee-wee riding a red motorcycle and a sidecar through a tunnel. Anyway,
so he dreamed the Pee-wee film, like the scene in the Pee-wee film that you took the imaginary Pee-wee movie set from for your Batcave.
It sounds perfect so far.
Yes.
Says anyway, you kept the red motorcycle with sidecar and white helmet with chin strap and had it poised at the entrance of your Batcave. I thought it was funny and got out of the Batwing to ride the motorcycle down into the Batcave proper. Once I got down there, I realized I had made a faux pas in touching the Pee-wee cycle and apologized. I could tell you were annoyed, but you were way too polite to say it and played it off like it was okay. Thanks for not yelling at me, Scott. Chris. I don't know what, I can't interpret that. I don't know what any of that dream means. I mean, sometimes I am too nice to say something if somebody's being a dick. So that's maybe true. Like if someone's a real jerk to me, I'll usually just blow it off.
Yeah.
And I'll stew about it. I'll be pissed and I'll be mad and I'll wish I would have said something, but oftentimes I'll be too polite.
You take the high road.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess so. Sometimes it feels like the chicken road, but I think it's the high road most of the time.
Take the high road. Kenny Rogers would agree.
If anyone out there wants to interpret that, that'd be fine. No, no 50 Shades of Grey calls yet. I'm just saying.
Oh, all right.
Could be, you know, could be
50 Shades of not our demographic.
Yeah, maybe people don't care, you know?
I don't care.
They don't care. All right. Oh, EDC sent me a YouTube video. What's this? Hold on.
Oh, that's his submission.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm old now.
Please. Oh, did someone what? Is this us?
Yeah, that's for us. That's for the TMS Film Festival.
What? This is one of them. I'm so excited.
Please report to my ready room with a birthday cake.
Oh, my gosh, dude. All right. All right. I don't want to blow that there, but that's amazing. Good gosh. Already, I haven't even seen the whole thing yet. Veronica's not here today, Ralph. She's not here today. Ralph's freaking out. He wants his Veronica fix. She emailed me this morning and said she's on a day trip with her husband. So.
She's too busy playing World of Warcraft. Yeah. She's not even out. She's just,
she made up that story
about her
husband.
Entrenched in her garrison.
Yeah, if by husband she meant garage and by right. day trip she meant dailies. I think that's what happened.
Right.
Okay, final email says this. Just so you guys know, when I was Googling the morning, you guys pop up right before the morning after pill. So apparently your show is more popular as an AM consumable than are the contraceptives. Well done. Also, I've never Googled anything related to Frogpants Studios on this computer. Seems legit. That's interesting. Let's just try it ourselves.
I tried it on mine, and I get, if I type the morning, it auto-completes the morning after pill, the morning lyrics, the morning advocate, the morning stream, the morning the weekend.
Mine is the morning stream, then the morning zoo. Then the morning after pill. Weird. Why is it? I know it's all different based on algorithmic usage, blah, blah, blah. But
yeah.
If they've never used Google on that Magic. Computer, it's crazy. If I look, Brian Ibbett is. Uh-huh. It doesn't finish if I do is. Okay, if I just do Brian Ibbett, it's Brian Ibbett Coverville, Brian Ibbett Twitter, Brian Ibbett Facebook, Brian Ibbett, and then Brian Ibbett Style.
Brian Ibbett Style. That's
Brian Ibbett Style.
Gangnam Style parody.
Right. Now, if you look up Scott Johnson. Is Scott Johnson is McKinley's kid. Scott Johnson is in middle school. Scott Johnson is a moron. All right. Well, that didn't go well.
Yeah.
I mean, but you can do this for a lot of people, like Tom
Veronica
Cruise.
Veronica Belmont is.
Yeah, let's do that. I think hers are all happy. Veronica Belmont is... Oh, there isn't any.
Mine says, I just get a who is.
Weird. Yeah, I get a who is. If I just do Veronica Belmont, it says Twitter, Comcast, Podcast, Wiki, and IMDb. I thought there were more is's for people. Let's try Tom Merritt. Tom Merritt is... Oh, okay. I type that and I get Tom Hobbs Merritt Island, Tom Garrow Merritt Island, Tom Friedman Merritt Island Insurance.
So here's what's funny. If you just type is, mm-hmm. sometimes you get nothing. If you do is a, then you start getting some other things. So there's an attorney, Tom Merritt, who works at Anderson Financial, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
But then you start getting our Tom Merritt stuff.
Yeah, like Tom Merritt and Eileen Rivera, Tom Merritt and Brian Brushwood. Okay, so Scott Johnson is a... actor. Scott Johnson is an artist. Scott Johnson is an architect. Scott Johnson is an Alaska state trooper and an attorney in Tulsa. Great.
Hey, at least you came up second.
Yeah. It's all right.
Yeah.
But that's on my computer, so you know. Who knows? Brian Ibbett.
I get exactly the same thing, so.
Is a. I get nothing.
Yeah,
I
still get nothing for me.
That's weird. Okay, one more.
You people need to start putting more stuff, you know, what I am.
Obama is a... Here we go.
Oh, geez.
Barack Obama is awesome. Barack Obama is a hero. Barack Obama is a robot. Barack Obama is a socialist. And Barack Obama is a cactus.
Yeah, cactus is the one that comes up third on my list.
Weird. What is that from?
And traitor, which I'm thinking somebody misspelled traitor with a T and wrote traitor.
That says a lot, right? If you go Barack Obama, I don't like that. If you just do his name, daughters are so searched for. That's creepy.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, that's creepy.
How about was? Oh, that's weird. Did Google stop doing so much negative stuff? Because I swear that's some of this has changed. It used to be you could get the worst thing said about people here. And that's not happening now. Anyway, I don't know why I'm going down this rabbit hole, but let's try one more. Yeah, this is different. Like, I just put in a name. I'm not going to say the name, but let's say it's somebody in podcasting who usually...
I love, somebody pointed out if you Google do a barrel roll, that's awesome.
Yeah, that one's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I think Google changed it. I don't know for sure.
Do a barrel roll!
Send us your emails. Let us know what you think. No calls on 50 Shades. That's fine. That's there fine. It means none of you saw it. It's fine.
Mm-hmm. Or it means that none of you want to talk to us about it. And that's totally fine. You know, like I said, we wouldn't judge. We wouldn't...
Yeah. And I have Safe Surf Och off, by the way, chat room. I don't have that on, so I don't think that's it. I don't know what's happening. It's just not it's not putting the rude things anymore. Like if I put Miley Cyrus.
Well, I saw that Coke commercial in the Super Bowl. Maybe that's what happened, is that, that Coke commercial made everything happy.
Well, all right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So it made the internet happy. So there's no more bad stuff on the internet.
Here it is. Miley Cyrus is dead. Miley Cyrus is married. Miley Cyrus, she married. Miley Cyrus is awesome, and Miley Cyrus is out of control. All right. There you go.
All may be true.
Good times. That's going to do it for us. If you want to email us or send us calls, you can. Email address is themorningstream@gmail.com. That's themorningstream@gmail.com. You can also call us at 801-471-0462. On Twitter, find Brian at Coverville, me at Scott Johnson, and the show at Morningstream. I think that's it. Unless I can think of something else. I can't. I'm done. Brian, do you got anything? We're good?
I got nothing. I got nothing.
Well, you got music. Well, play that
I got
for me.
One thing.
Yeah,
yes.
play that for me.
Thorin emailed in. Thorin, regular tadpooler, and I can see him in the tadpool right now. Mm. Dear Sergey and Bryn,
yes.
I turned 39 on Saturday, February 14th. Do you think you could Google me up a cover request for my birthday? How funny. We were just talking about Googling. Mm. Song can be Coverville's choice, maybe in the style of Pentatonix-esque a cappella or chiptune. Insert clever rhyme for love the show, though, here. Seriously, thanks. Signed, Thorin.
Oh, thanks,
buddy. Happy birthday, Thorin.
Yeah.
All right. Well, when I think of bands that are like Pentatonix-esque, probably the first one that comes to mind is Pentatonix.
Mm. Yeah. That sounds about right.
When I Google bands like Pentatonix, Pentatonix is the first one that comes up. This is cool. This is from last year's PTX Volume 2 CD. And it is a cover of two Swedish House Mafia tunes all mixed together. These guys are great. I just love how tight their harmonies are and their a cappella.
Tight. Hey, is that tonight?
Green, blue, yellow, man, bring me whatever. Just bring me that.
That's tonight, right? That show?
It is tonight, yeah.
Oh, so good. All right.
Love it. Are you all caught up? Did you see last week?
Yeah, I'm all caught up. It's so freaking rad.
So good.
Yeah.
Here is Pentatonix and their covers of Save the World and Don't Worry, Child, all mashed up together. Happy
Who's
birthday, Thorin.
Save the world tonight? Who's going to bring time. I used to look into my father's eyes. In a happy home, I was a king, I had a golden throne. Those days are gone, now the memories around the wall. I hear the songs from the places where heaven's got a plan for you. Turn the crowd up now, we'll never back down.
the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
I know every inch of him.
Ugh.